Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft all year round. We're in the thick of draft season now and consuming plenty of footy, all of us here, and it's Marsh Madness. So we'll be taking a look at part two of the first round of the Marsh Series matches and maybe a brief review of the Bushfire Relief match. I'm Doss, and joining in some Marsh Madness is Stevie Fears. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day Doss and g'day listeners. Madness is the name of the game. Because, of course, it was a huge week for Dossie and the Soy Boys, which, of course, is your Moby cover band. But, yeah, the vegan pies or pureed, liquefied goo pies at the footy has just triggered people left, right and centre. I can't get enough of the triggering. Don't know about the pies. I think when you order a 4-in-20 pie, it's the mystery bag for a reason. You sort of don't know what you're getting. There's very little meat in there. I don't know if bone counts as meat. What are your takeaways, Dossie? Because I can't imagine actually going to the football and eating one of these shit bags.
Well, I assume you'd probably get about the same amount of actual nutrients or meat that you would in the meat pie than you do in the vegan pie, Steve. So, yeah, I don't know what are people just triggered because of the vegan stuff as usual, I'm guessing?
As usual, yes.
All right, another vegan on the pod. Jono, welcome, mate.
If you spell vegan with beef and pork and chicken, then yes, I'm a massive vegan fan. G'day, Doss. G'day, listeners. Good to be here. Nothing much going on in my life right now, so move on.
All right. Well, Cam, much going on in your life at the moment?
Yeah, heaps, especially with that bloody Treloar hamstring. So my way too early draft is coming back to bite me way too early at the moment. Yeah, let's just move on and I'll cry a little bit as we go.
Brutal stuff. We will touch on all the games from the second part of the first round of the Marsh Series. But boys, on I think it was the Friday night, was the Bushfire Relief Victoria versus the All-Stars game. I know a few of us watched it, a few of us didn't. Was there any takeaways from this game? The major one for me is just to, of course, remember that the guys playing in these games are not playing in the teams for the Marsh Series, so just to be aware of that. But apart from one thing as well from the Statesman, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, Toby Green is a gun. Did anyone notice anything else from the Bushfire Relief match?
Well, the fact that everyone had their 20 possessions and 4 goals, it was a good, entertaining game of the best, and that's about it.
Yep, still better than AFLX.
Well, I'd debate that one. I'd debate you on that one. AFLX could be much more high-scoring because you got the Zuper goals and everything, so, and in a shorter format.
The only good thing about AFLX was the fact that it brought back Zupers. Zupers are fucking awesome.
They never left.
I also remember AFLX is a flashback to the most superior of all Brayshaws, Hamish Brayshaw, starring a couple of years ago for the Weagles in the AFLX. Anyway, all right, we'll move on to the Marsh series now, and just a few things we noticed from each match, and we'll go start with the West Coast Essendon match. Did anyone, first of all, who managed to catch that game, and was there anything we noticed? Of course, Tim Kelly, the addition for West Coast. You can start wherever you want to, though. Stevie, take it away.
Yeah, I thought the main takeaway was the first half. Like, Andrew McGrath played through the middle and really, especially in poor conditions, it was pretty wet, bit slippery, and he was so clean. Like, he played really well, stood out. I thought he looked great, so whether that continues, I don't know. He obviously slowed down in the second half. Darcy Parrish had a really good game. Will Snelling, listed as a forward. He only had a few games last year, but he did manage to pump out a Supercoach ton in the Dream Team 93. He was probably the star of the show for the Bombers. And there's positions at the Bombers. You know, they're obviously suffering some injuries. Jordan Ridley was someone who caught the eye last year. 8 intercepts. You got to love that. And again, A lot of spots around at that Bombers defense. We saw Hurley have a little bit of calf ice. So I'm a bit worried because Hurley was one of my sort of later later defender target. So I'm a little bit cagey about that now. Big problems down at the Bombers. Phillips was good. I had Phillips in front of Belcho already. I thought he was a good guy if you're in a deeper ruck league. On the Eagle side, probably didn't... It's hard to say too much. I didn't really take too much away. Kelly, he started very slowly.
Yeah, but once again, I think somebody posted the CBAs again. I think that Tim Kelly was obviously in there a fair bit, but I suppose what we of course got to notice, which I did mention at the top, was there was no Yo, no Gaff. So, you know, I think we're going to get a lot more out of the second Marsh game for the Weagles as well. But Steve, interesting that another, I think, you know, mid-season draft days, we've had a few sort of pop in the first round of the Marsh series, of course, Snelling. And then I believe we'll be talking maybe a bit about Johnny Noble later. I think he was a mid-season draftee. And, of course, the star of all of them, big Mickey Knoll, just really exploding onto the scene for Sydney.
Yeah, he's a player in the AFL. Well, Will Snelling's been around before, been on the AFL list before, so it makes sense. He's a mature player, so you could certainly do worse at the very end of your draft.
Yeah, I think with Snelling as well, like, he basically spent a lot of the time in the forward 50, and it was basically a pressure role. So, you know, it was awesome in a Marsh series game, may not translate too well to an AFL game.
One thing I was concerned about, a guy I had as a real sleeper candidate was Fantasia, and he's just going to be camped inside 50, and I'm very worried about his potential going forward.
Yeah. Is it contract year for Fantasia? I think it is.
Could be. Yeah.
They flagged the halfback move, so we didn't see any of that in this game, Steve, at all, even without Connor McKenna in this one, or Mason Redmond, really.
Or Adam Sutton.
For who?
They've mentioned, there was an article mentioning that they might be moving old mate Fantasia back to a halfback flank.
Yeah, because they were trialling McKenna forward because he was a forward back in his homeland.
Yeah, no, we didn't see that. I didn't see that article, but I find that hard to believe. Fantasia's pretty good forward.
The McGrath tail off at the end of the game, Steve, that wasn't due to lack of centre bounces in the second half. He just did his usual disappearing act.
And they moved him into defence in the second half.
Yeah. Okay. So he got shifted a bit, and Dev went in there, and he really just fired. Like, you sort of, you can see it from the numbers. Like, Devin's first half was pretty quiet. The old lunch meet, Devin Smith, and you know, he had a really good second half, and that's sort of what. That's the worry with these Bombers players, is none of them... to me, McGrath looks like he should demand the role. Parrish looks like he'll have the role. But none of them are so good that they, you know, this is mine sort of thing.
They're not stamping their authority on it. They're not alphaing that role.
Yeah, that's... McGrath is no alpha. He's such a soy boy.
Gam,
you've
you
said it.
That?
You've said it, Doss. You've said he's a soy boy.
McGrath?
Yeah.
He's a ghost. He disappears. Andy McGhost. But
So clean compared to
everyone else. He'll be on the vegan meat pies at halftime. There's no doubt about that. We might as well move on to GWS Sydney. Obviously, the huge news. Timmy Taranto with what looked like a dislocated shoulder. I don't know if that's come through. Cam, do you want to talk about that a little bit? It's going to, of course... caused some massive adjustments in our rankings, I think.
Yeah, correct. And so he's basically, for those who didn't get a chance to see it, he did just dislocate his shoulder, and the reports are saying anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks with surgery scheduled for this week. I think it's pretty interesting in regards to how it happened rather than the injury itself. It was basically he just touched someone and it just popped out. Like, it looked so innocuous that it really surprised me how easy it went out. And I think that's more of a concern than anything else in regards to the injury. Like, the amount of dislocations that happen every year, and they can sort of get back within 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks, depending on how bad it is. Because it happened so easily, I think there was structural damage beforehand. It wasn't sound.
He did have that shoulder pretty heavily strapped that game too, didn't he?
Yeah, correct. And so as far as sliding goes, like, So I'm doing a keeper draft right now, and he slid significantly in that draft. Like, no one wants to
even in a keeper?
Even in a keeper. And I think it was more about how it happened than anything else.
Right. Okay, that's very speculative stuff there. But, Steve, can I just... We did mention pre-show, but for the listeners, when you get an injury like this, and let's just assume reports, say it's a 10 to 12-week injury, despite how much of a beastly scorer he is, how far are you going to drop him down? 10 to 12 weeks is a long time. I think pre-show we were talking about maybe like the Treloar thing, and maybe we'll get your thoughts on that in a bit. But how far does Timmy T go down? Do you even draft him with the 10 to 12 weeks out? You're just going to have to stash him on that bench.
Yeah, it really comes down to how big your league is, what sort of bench you got. In our home league, he's going to have to be going around 16 plus for me to be even taking a look. We know the, and just for the newer draft players out there, we know that the first month especially is the most fertile for the free agent list to be ripe for the plucking, where players emerge. We don't know everything in the preseason. Players emerge, injuries happen, all those sort of things, and you want to be plucking guys off the waiver wire. If you've got a limited bench because you're holding on to injuries, that really hurts you. I don't mind holding one injury, but a 10-week injury, that's a hard sell.
Yeah, and especially a 10-week shoulder. Like, we've talked about it before on the pod, whereby, you know, Tom Rockliffe, when he had his shoulder injury, Gary Ablett, when he had his shoulder injury, they come back pretty shit, to be honest.
And I want to put this into perspective as well. By that time, Callum Ward's going to be firmly entrenched back in that GWS team.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe get Jono's quick takes, just very quick takes on who do you reckon benefits most here? It's probably going to be a question we answer later in the listener questions, I'm assuming. But Jono, who's your quick take on who benefits most to start the season at least?
Probably Jacob Hopper. He looked like he actually got all that midfield time just based on his scores there. I didn't see too much of this game, but by his score suggestion, he's the one who gets that bump. And then we'll probably see Callum Ward integrated in that midfield once he's back up to peak fitness. And we've also seen Leon Cameron come out and say that Cornelio is going to spend more time forward as well. So it's going to be a sort of a honeymoon period, really, for the GWS midfield, and how they're really going to settle it down. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
One thing I thought was really interesting was this year it seemed like they wouldn't need De Boer to be the tagger. We saw he was just a CBA monster for them last year. He was in there like every centre bounce, basically. And it seemed like they wouldn't even need him this year if all their talent was fit. Does that open things up for De Boer to go back in there?
I think it's more likely someone like Jackson Hatley finally gets a role. Like he's good. He's really good. He just hasn't had any opportunity.
To me, he seems more like the wing guy who gets in there every now and again.
Okay.
Does that... No? But, like, he's the guy coming off the bench to fill in time.
But the superior green.
We'll get to that later.
Okay, well, we'll go from somebody tumbling down the ranks to somebody rising to the top. Jordan Dawson looked amazing. Cam and I have him super high already. You guys, not so high, but did some of the role here interest you despite, yes, I know Callum Mills and Jake Lloyd, Jono, I know you see your hand up ready to go, but no, in all seriousness, Jono, did Jordan Dawson impress you if you did see any of this game?
He did impress from what I saw of him, and look, I've got him ranked relatively high. I've got him in the early 20s. He might be able to sneak up there into the late teens for me now, mid-teens. So I'll have to have a look at that and wait, especially for Marsh 2, when Mills and Lloyd are all back there together, and just see exactly what his output will be when they're all in there together.
I'm a little bit concerned, actually. Like, while he scored really well, Sydney weren't really missing anyone from their midfield mix, and they just got blitzed by a 2's GWS. Like, I just... You know, you can't... I think it's a grain of salt this week, and they may do better next week. But for me, it's, you know, wait and see.
But Sydney have always tanked the preseason.
Yeah, and if that's happening again, awesome. Like, really good to know.
Like, even the premiership years, they just like, yeah, fuck it, we'll get done by 100 points. We don't care. And then they come out and they do all right.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think he gets a bump. I think he's just fine where he is. Like, it's nice to see a guy play well, but what did he score? 97? Game time, 91%, and all his internal competition, besides Harry Cumstain, was out of the team.
what I will say is that Cam and I were speaking because I think one of the things that I have been harping on about Jordan Dawson is that if he does take the next level to the breakout to a point where I do think you might have to adjust a little bit up, is that wing role, and which is kind of where I've been at. And Cam said, I was super hyped. I was messaging Cam. I didn't get to catch the start of this game. He said he was playing on the wing early. And then as soon as I switched on, which was probably around the half time, he switched into that defensive role where I'm still hot on him, but not to that next level breakout. And Cam, you saw the sort of role change come around that point.
Yeah, correct. It was basically half time. He looked good enough in the first half, and then he looked good enough in the second half, but just in a worse scoring position. It's still wait and see for March 2.
All right, now somebody, I think it was Jono, you noticed some news regarding Zach Williams and a bit of his Achilles tendonitis heading into this game. We'll just quickly talk about that.
Yeah, so two parts on that. I was watching the Tigers-Collingwood game and Dwayne Russell mentioned that Zach Williams didn't play due to Achilles tendonitis, and I thought I'll do a bit more research into that. And the Dr. Super Coach boys actually had it up there that, yeah, Zach Williams has the Achilles tendonitis. So what that means, I don't know, and how long that's going to be out for, but we do know he did rupture his Achilles a couple of years ago and missed the whole season. So I guess we'll have scans and we'll wait and see just how long he'll be out for.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, I think we'll just move on to Fremantle Carlton. And boys, the plus six game plan was on. The long Muir game plan was looking very juicy. Steve, do you want to talk a bit about Freo Carlton?
Yeah, look, I think it was actually an interesting game. I didn't mind watching this one. There was a bit in it. But yeah, it was very, very kick mark, which was something I think I'd floated a lot about talking about Luke Ryan and his possible D1-ness. We know he's already a D1 sort of guy in Supercoach, but I think in both formats, he really has that sort of upside if indeed all things went to plan. Rory Lobb played awesome. He took a stack of contested marks. He was marking everything that came his way. Sean Darcy played about half the game, and Rory Lobb just took over in the ruck. So he had a monster fantasy game. Luke Ryan, really nothing to dissuade me away from him being a great pick in both formats of the game. Chera and Brayshaw, they both played really, really well. Again, shitty time on ground, which just fucking blows me away. I got to be honest, like, I really don't understand it, but they impressed me. Chera really looked classy. I'll put it that way, which I know is a bit of a buzzword. Connor Blakely looked kind of shit. James Aish
really bad, man.
James Aish had a good score, but I don't know. They say Blake Aiken, that all these guys turned up. There was just so many marks. Freo took, what did they take? 116 marks.
Wow.
Teams aren't going to let him get away with that shit in the regular season. There is no chance whatsoever. On the Carlton side, like Sam Doherty, this is really interesting because I saw a lot of tweets in the post match about Sam, like, and mostly it was from the salary cap format, mind you. And it was really about, you can't pick Sam Doherty. He's not elite. He's not going to score well. He played about as bad as you could humanly pay, and he still scored 79 Dream Team points. Yeah. Like, I was actually buoyant. I was like, you know what? This is what I want to see, to be honest. I think he had those.
And he built as the game went on too. Like, he started absolutely putrid, and you could see his confidence rising as the game went on, started getting those plus sixes that we've always seen him do.
Yeah, and it was really interesting because there's a lot of competition across the Carlton back line. He wasn't clean. He got mown down once. He tried to fight someone, which just looked like a staged... He was like an extra in a Hollywood play who just gets beaten up sort of thing. But I was encouraged. I was encouraged enough to to feel comfortable about it, because I can't imagine him being any worse, and he still dropped 79. So I was pretty happy with that, to be honest. The big question is going to be what he does in the back half of the year, whether he runs out of gas or he builds.
Now, I don't know if... I think you mentioned the Chair and the Brayshaws, the Blakeleys, but I don't think you mentioned Blake Akers in there as well, with the very nice 69% game time, dropping 104 fantasy and 111 super coach. I thought agreed with your Chair comments about how classy he looks. I actually thought Akers had a bit of class about him in this as well, and really sort of showed that role, and sort of cemented by the coach's comments afterwards, saying how well he cemented his spot in that role as well.
Yeah, look, he played well. And one thing we know about Blake Akers is when he is on, he is super on. And he is like a match-winning level player. Like, I kind of think about David King. You know, when David King was on, you know, he could do anything. But when he was away, he was shit. Like, he was worthless. And I kind of look at Blake Akers as one of those yin and yang players. Like, they're either super on or super off. We remember Michael Walters and Nat Fyfe weren't in this match. Like, they're elite players, man. So I'd be cagey about Blake Akers. We've seen this sort of stuff before. Yes, it's encouraging. Yes, I'm willing to take a specky on him. Where he goes in drafts from here on out is going to be interesting. He is a classic Marsh 2 watch.
Yeah. Cam, did you find anything from this game as well? I saw you popping your hand up before.
Yeah, it was actually... How many marks did you say Frio had, Steve?
116.
So that is 12 above the highest team's average from last year. It's not going to maintain. That's crazy.
It's not. And teams won't let them play like that.
No. And the other thing, just to elaborate a bit more on one of Steve's points with Aish... So Longmuir, he actually said that, you know, he's playing, he played a variety of roles in the day, and he's going to be played in a variety of roles all season. You'd think that he's probably going to be the most impacted by Fyfe and Walters coming back in.
Can I say, if someone is like, and I saw people taking victory laps on Aish, if someone is willing to take Aish at a position where I'm not, that's fucking great news, man. I don't want anything to do with that dude. And that is just going to push dudes I want down further in the draft. Fuck Aish. He played well, though.
I think he's a late draft flyer, actually. Like, I still think he's still going to be good. But that game didn't improve where I had him, which was, like, you know, bench defender.
Great spot.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean,
he did look good. Perfect spot.
Yeah. I think guys like Chair and Brayshaw, for me, though, even... they actually outshone what I thought they'd do. And like you said, Steve, they actually... the low time on ground's just so hard to know where they're at, and the ridiculous amount of marks, etc. We'll have to just watch Marsh 2 for more on that. The real big takeaway... Oh, sorry, Steve.
Well, what I liked about from Brayshaw is he got there with tackles, not marks. Still only 19 touches, though. Ugh.
He looked better to me. He just looked...
Oh, they look good.
More composed.
Don't get me wrong, but I just worry that there's going to be Brayshaw, Chera, Akers, Fyfe, Walters, Conker. Like,
Collier. Just, woohoo! Oh, sorry.
Can't. Let's dial it back.
And, of course, Peter Millark from the Hunger Games as well. Lockie Schultz could be a bit of a sneaky sleeper, boys.
You know who had a good second half? It's Pitnett.
Yeah,
he
really
fucking smashed it. As soon as he came on, he just raked, man. He seriously raked. He demanded the ball. He took the contested ball. He looked good, man. He's got the ruck forward status. If Charlie Kurnow and the other jobber are missing time, like, man, I could see him going, yeah, why not?
Nah, it's a good pick. It's one of your sort of picks that you like as well. Stashing on the bench, the forward status as well. He has the forward status too, I think, Pitman. So,
that's what I just said, yeah.
So Lockie Schultz has that Tom Papley energy. He's just getting me excited. Anyway, all right, let's move on to Richmond Collingwood. The huge injury, and Cam, you did mention it at the top of the show there. Treloar looking to pull a bit of a string, probably more speculation at this point, but he definitely looked to hold that string quite close to the end of the game.
And it was iced up too.
Cam.
Yes. Sorry. Good throw there. Good listen from Cam. But yeah, Treloar, he basically really just kind of pulled up short after taking a mark, and it grabbed straight on his hamstring. Didn't look so good. And, you know, I was saying to the boys before we started recording, scenes of when he pulled two hammies, a year and a half ago, where he kind of didn't know that he'd pulled a hamstring, and he just sort of walked off and tried to get back on the field, but actually he'd pulled a muscle. I think him not reacting isn't indicative of the severity. Unfortunately, we won't know more until he has scans.
All right, keep an eye on that before we adjust our ranks. Steve, I know you caught this one. Do you want to talk about your second favourite team behind the Suns, of course, the Collingwood Magpies?
I don't have a lot of takeaways from this match, to be honest. John Noble did manage to get on the radar, though, as a speculative defender pick. Not a lot of takeaway. Oh, one guy who just shat the bed, Shai Bolton, with all the guns missing, and he still couldn't get it. Yeah. We saw him have the midfield time last year. He was a specky forward pick for me, and he's just off the radar now.
All right. Is that pretty much it from the Marsh series?
One more point on that. Darcy Cameron looks quite good as a handcuff for Grundy. If you are picking up Grundy with your first pick, he could be your very last pick in the draft. He knocked up 100 points or over 100 in the AFL fantasy format.
To be honest, I know there's plenty of guys to come back in. I've just got my eye on Liam Baker. I don't think I'd do it,
Look good.
It's particularly keeper legs. I've always just like the way he goes about it, and in certain roles
Hooley
he can shine.
Edwards to come back in that defence, so it's a possibility.
Can't get around someone whose name's Liam.
That is very strong specific. Take. I love it.
Just throwing a bit of strong shade take. There.
Shout out to all our Liam listeners out there. Keep up the good fight.
Yep. Yeah, all right. We'll subscribe.
I hope the other boys are your favourite hosts. That's all I'm going to say about that.
iTunes, Spotify, subscribe or follow. We release every Wednesday during the preseason. Plenty coming up, including our Fantasy BNF show, which features a plenty of people across the fantasy community. And that's closing in pretty close, I think,
yeah.
Steve.
If you're listening and you're on the list, get them in. We've got a few in.
Get
your
them
recordings
in. All right. And as well, all our ranks are on the site. Now, we will be updating these, we believe, this midweek. I think we missed the last time, but we will be doing those, and they're all available for free. Check them out and download them at thedraftdoctors.com.au. That's where you can also get the 2020 draft kit to get ready for your drafts. 270 player profiles, all our takes on our favourite early, mid, and late picks, as well as keeper content by the one and only Statesman. Don't forget as well, practice your draft skills. If your draft is coming up this weekend or next weekend as well, you got the mock draft simulator. You can get two drafts free per day. All of that, again, at thedraftdoctors.com.au. We'll get to our questions from social media now, and we'll start with the ones from Twitter. That is at thedraftdoctors on Twitter. All right, there's a heap of questions to get through here. I'll just go from top to bottom that we've got. And we've got Warnie with the first one here. He asks, why are the forwards so shit? And should have just targeted
read that properly. Read that properly. There's no S there.
Why are the... why? Just doing him a favour here. Why are the forwards so shit? And should have I targeted them more than ending up with EBIT at F1? ! Hand in the face.
Well, I think Warnie had his draft day on Sunday, so he's a few beers deep, so we'll forgive him for that one. But yes, the forwards are shit. And even F1, I don't mind it.
Oh.
Can I just throw out a tip for all the listeners? If you play on the AFL fantasy format, let Warnie know that you can't see the player photos. He thinks that's a great joke.
Hit him up.
What worries me is, like, it's forwards. Who cares? You know, like, you'll be fine. You'll get by. You know, data presents itself over the season. This is one of the things why playing forwards is so easy, because there's a billion of them. And data presents itself over the season as to who's a good matchup, and you can roll with whoever.
Right, time
because I know they play a short field. Jack Rewald would be sitting on the waiver wire, surely. Well, when Richmond play Gold Coast, you're probably going to score 100.
No, 200. You always snags 10 against them, so it's 200.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Miller time. That's time underscore Miller asks, latest kick flip update, please.
Yeah.
No.
It's not happening.
It's not happening, unfortunately. Stato's going to have to do something else.
What worries me is Stato hasn't even suggested doing anything else.
Make him do the spicy chip.
Nah.
I know he's old.
He likes.
It might kill him. But
well, yeah. He likes the chili stuff. He likes the chili stuff, so he'd be right.
Yeah. We'll get him the chili chips. Yeah. Done. It is decided.
I'll still say, if we can crowdfund me a skateboard, I will try a kickflip. Or someone wants to loan me one for a little while. I don't care.
Hit up the Pride of Portland and see if he's got a skateboard in the backyard. He certainly likes to ride around on his pushy.
Got a pushy.
All right, Tom DT. How good is Mickey Knoll? Steve responded with the correct gift there, a goat. Mickey Knoll is the goat. Paige asks, if you're choosing between one of Pat Lipinski and Bailey Smith, who would you take? Jono, you're the Dogs man.
Lipinski,
you got Paddy
all
Lipinski
day, every
or
day,
Bailey Smith?
Out of them two.
Try not to talk over the host.
No, I just want to cut the fucker off. It's fine.
Wait till he's finished answering the question.
Steve, don't cut off the host, says Steve.
I am taking Paddy Lipinski all day, every day, because he's got more chance to get in more midfield time than Bailey Smith does. I see Bailey Smith probably 75% forward, the rest in the midfield. So he'll slowly build over his career, but yeah, Lipinski for me. And we've seen him do it.
Yeah, they had pretty similar CBAs in the Marsh. But yeah, that's a good takeaway, Jono. Alex says, if I'm crook and I take a probiotic and an antibiotic, do they cancel each other out?
Ask Tom Brown.
Sounds like Alec has coronavirus.
It's a
RIP.
Tom Sheed underscore pocket. 8 coaches, captains off, 2 ruck, pick 7. Is my pick on the way back too early to take Cornelio? Say I take Duncan Danger at 7, Cornelio at 10. Cornelio could pick up forward status at some stage this season, and even if he doesn't, is a chance to push 110 fair. Bit of a reach, given who could be there. That's a long question, but what do we think, boys? I can't even follow what I've even said.
Okay, so if you take
Duncan at
Dunkley. It's Dunkley.
Oh, Dunkley.
Dunkley Danger at 7. That's fine.
In an 8-man league?
I'm surely there's better available on the way back at pick 10 there, wouldn't there? There'd be Bontempelli, Titch. There'd be shitloads there.
Lloyd,
Dusty even.
Dusty? You can do it if you want. I don't think he's going to kill you, but...
But drafting to get the F status?
I think in an 8-man league, you want something that differentiates your team a little bit more than just stacking mids.
And it's 2 ruck, so... It could be. Lock down one of your rucks early.
I'd take Lloyd or maybe even Rob if he's there.
All right, at RFC Premiers 2017, who would I need to pick at 11 for Jono to say, I snaked him?
Considering this is a mate of ours, go fuck yourself.
The answer, Costa, is literally anyone.
Yes.
All right.
We're all next to each other. I mean, we got the best, like, the dude in our draft who's, like, really good. Me, Jono, and him are all within...
Three picks.
There's one person between us. God rest their soul. But that's going to be fun. Yet again, next to each other.
2 weeks' time. Get on.
Who are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Pick 8.
Pick 8. I'm going for the perma captain. Perma captain. So it's obviously midfielder. And who
is it?
Yeah, it is.
I've heard you're keen on Dusty. That's the rumor in the group chat.
Dusty, if he comes back to me. But not with pick one. Hell no.
All right, at Godra61, who goes at pick 10? What's the highest you'd take, Titch? Absolutely no context here, but who goes at pick 10, lads? And what's the highest you'd take, Titch?
At pick 10, that is...
What's the mock say? Oh, let me have a look.
Nah, I'm not doing it.
I think
you could take Bond. You could take anyone you want, really. Oliver.
Is it a 10-man league?
The question is, who would you take and pick 10?
How do we know? It's so good.
Josh, I'd take Brody Grundy at pick 10. No, it could be anyone. There's so many people at pick 10.
Kelly, Lloyd's Oliver.
There, I'd take Lloyd.
Dusty.
Dusty, Lloyd, those types.
What's the format? If it's Supercoach, I'll take Dusty. If it's not, I might not.
All right, absolutely no context, so I have no idea. Oh,
and what was the other one? The earliest I'd take Titch?
Highest you'd take him,
yeah. Highest, yeah, the earliest.
In AFL Fantasy, I'd probably consider him at 5. In Supercoach, it's probably more like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go to Chris at Topher Street. What's expected to happen with the Rucks in Sydney and Essendon? Are we looking at Naismith and Phillips as best 22 right now? We probably didn't talk about that in these games, but what do we think? I think Naismith is a lock to be the R1, the first Ruck selection at Sydney. He's locked it down. He does have Mickey Noel breathing down his neck, but he's certainly got that locked away. And they don't, like I said, I heard... In the off-season on Trade Radio, it was a strange little thing I heard, and it was just their list manager, when they spoke about their rucks going forward, he was set on Naismith being the man, and when they mentioned Callum Sinclair, it was like as if the bloke wasn't even there anymore. They forgot he was even on the list, so that's your list manager talking. I think Naismith is a lock. What about Andrew Phillips? What did we see from him in the Essendon game?
He was solid against Nignat.
I've had Phillips as my top ruck for Essendon the whole way. No offense to Belcher fans out there. I just think Phillips is better. I think that's going to be a hard one for owners. Like, I wouldn't count on Phillips being my R1 all year.
Shea Perez_, is Akers, Blakely, Chera, and Brayshaw too many dorkers?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Kennel Keepers. Does Short move up the defender rankings after today's game? Short scored a solid little ton, but he, of course, did not have Basher Hooley in the squad.
I've
down back.
Got him at D24 still, and I'm pretty comfortable there at the moment. Back end D2, top end D3. I'd be pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, but I basically had that priced in, to be honest.
Yeah late D2, early D3. I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Yep. Yeah.
Slotted a beautiful goal at about 60 metres out.
And that's what he can do. And that's what he was doing. He was rolling up the ground to that top of the forward 50, and they were just looking for him in two steps, bang, launch it from 60. So maybe they'll use him as a bit of a weapon this year.
All right. At Ambitious Idler, I've got room for one speculative mid-keeper. It's currently between George Hewitt, Carl Amon, Will Brody, and Quinton Narkle. Who do we see having the most upside this year? So that's between George Hewitt, Carl Amon, Will Brody, or Quinton Narkle.
See, I'll
leave Cam out of this one because he's got Narkle, of course.
I was a big advocate for Amon this year, but donut Stevie Motlop just burnt him against the Lions a couple of weeks ago, so he's dead. And
I actually think it's between Narkle and Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Agreed.
I'd take Narkle. I reckon it's Narkle.
They do like him at the Cats.
That's a fucking old team down at the Cattery.
Yeah.
Sparkle Narkle, eh?
Like, if you look at Gold Coast, if you look at the Suns, all there is young talent coming through. That's who he's competing with, whereas Narkle's competing with busted fraudwood.
I always see Will Brody as like maybe a pretty fringy player, and they just brought in more mids.
Unless Brody goes to another team and just like lights it up.
Yeah, which is possible, right?
Sure.
All right. At Hallie RP, keeper question. 12-team league. keeping 10. Should I keep Pendles or Christian Salem? Rob says mids are stacked. He has Daniels and Dawson down back.
Oh, I'm not high on Salem this year. I think you got to keep Salem. Oh, fuck.
How was Pendles? 31, 32.
He's not going anywhere for a while.
Says the mids are stacked, though. Yeah.
Got to have that mid coverage, though. Got to have the mid coverage.
That's a good point, John. That's a good point.
And if you've got Daniels, who's 20-something, and Dawson, who's 20-something, that's the nucleus of your defense for the next, 7 to 10 years. So I'm keeping Pendles.
I'd be loving Salem, mate. Yeah, well, geez. Escalated quickly.
Hey, talking about takeaways from the bushfire relief game, Pendles, immaculate. Keep Pendles.
He's not going anywhere. That's the problem. That guy's going to score until he's 70.
Him and Fife had the same amount of disposals in that game, leading on the ground. All right, Lockie Jones, question I asked boys earlier on estimated ruck ADPs in 6-8-2-6 squad drafts.
I'm just going to pull you up, Lockie. You didn't actually ask the question. You just said you were interested in.
What was the question?
He wanted to know the ADP. What was the ADP of rucks in a two-ruck league, essentially? Here's the story, man. They go fucking early. And you would be right to draft them early.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, right. There should be six... In a two-ruck league, there should be six rucks off the board in the first two rounds.
Yep.
But we don't have ADPs. We don't have that data.
All right,
you know why? Because two-ruck leagues suck.
At Brando_tennis, appropriate punishment for someone who uses their first round on a meme pick. Got a mate who's going to draft sweet first round yet again.
Kick him out of the league. How's that for a prank?
Right, at DJ Brooks, the Ambo. If you have pick two in a keeper league, are you going with Anderson, Green, or Stevens with an eye to the future? So three young guys. Do we have any takeaways from what we saw in that game? I'm all about the Green, but I did not see a heap of the Sydney game. And Green looked amazing. Tom Green, young gun. A bit of Clayton Oliver or something about him. Maybe it's just because he's a bit of a ranger, but he looked amazing.
I think it's Stevens, though. Like, I know it's Green looked amazing, right? I agree with you. But though. Opportunity. Like, yeah. He's probably 2 years off again. Stevens probably going to get game time this year. And he'll probably be awesome next year.
Yeah.
I'd say it depends how long you can hang on for, because how long's Ward got left?
Couple. One or two.
I'd say Stevens otherwise, but I don't know. I like those inside mids.
Mm. Green looked next level good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he might play a bit this year. I know they're stacked. I think he might play a bit this year.
You're just going to have to wear it, like, wear the shit scores for a couple of years. And that's fine.
If he plays Neefel, he's going big.
But look at Sydney. Like, where's JPK in 2 years?
Yeah.
He's done.
Yeah. No, I agree. Sean, at @Barra_Sean, where's Mitch Duncan at with preseason? With his preseason? Jono, I think you have an answer for this one, don't you?
Yeah, he's cooked. I've not heard boo about him this. And with that, the ranks are being adjusted down because, honestly, I haven't heard boo out of Geelong if he's training with the main group or even training with the rehab group. Like, Cam, you're the Cats man. Have you heard anything?
So I did a quick Google before coming on here because I haven't heard anything either. There's nothing coming out on the socials. But the last article I found was like February 13th. And it was saying that Duncan didn't know when he was going to be rejoining the main group. So, and there's been nothing since.
Oof. That's not good.
Not good.
That's not good.
No.
Maybe that's why he signed that big deal in the off-season, lock himself away for the 5 years or whatever he did. Yeah, that's tough. But it's also a Geelong thing. It wouldn't surprise me if he plays Marsh 2 as well. At Levi West 1995. Long-time listener, have pick 5 in draft in a 10-man draft league. If I take a mid-first round, I plan to take O'Brien in the second. If that goes to plan, which out of defender or forwards gets thin quicker? Want to know who I should be targeting. Does forwards or defenders get thinner quicker?
Grab a mid on the second because O'Brien will be there probably in your...
If he wants to take O'Brien, that's fine. Defenders will thin out quicker.
There you go. At @jboyd_os, is there any scenario where I shouldn't take Grundy number one? He's got a 12-team snake draft, AFL Fantasy.
12-team
snake. It's a league where hitouts don't count.
The AFL Fantasy, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, they probably count then.
Mm.
No.
No, you have to take him.
I don't know. Darcy Cameron put up a pretty convincing case today.
Just replay the pods from 2019 about Grundy with Mason Cox, and you probably have your answer. At @MarkM106, anyone thinking Miller could be a better pick than Dan Houston?
It's hard to see it.
Watching it last week at Casey Fields without Laird and without Brody Smith and that, it's hard to tell. Again, Dimash too.
Brody Smith. Yeah.
I mean, if you take into account draft capital, potentially, like if Dan Houston's going in the fourth and Miller is going in the ninth, then maybe, yes.
All right, we got some questions from Facebook as well. You can find us, the Draft Doctors, there. This one comes from Matt. Does Tom Green become a legitimate last draft pick with Timmy T's shoulder gone? I think we sort of spoke about who we think will get the bump. Does anyone else want to touch on who might get the bump there? I mean, Tom Green, we've said he's going to... Like, I've said he might even play, but I don't think he's a legitimate draft pick in any single season league. He's just a keeper option. If he does play, it's more like probably going to be, you know, 60% time on ground, and he might notch you 60. And then I'm all about him for the... Lock Tom Green away for the second-year breakout already. All about it, but for this season, not for me. But what about you guys? Maybe some other options throw in there as well.
I just think it makes Perryman a bit more viable.
All right. Scott, with the potential rankings... Hang on a sec. With the potential ranking rise of Greenwood, D-Mac, Petrarca... Does this indicate to go forwards earlier than a couple of weeks ago? What do you think on these guys being legitimate options? I got to say, I'm not about the D-Mac hype. Didn't get CBAs. Not a big fan of him when he doesn't play mid-time, and they blew out that win in Marsh 1. What do you guys think on that? I think I've risen up Greenwood a bit. Same with Petrarca a little bit, if the midfield time holds. But... it's only a few guys throwing in the mix. Jono, what do you reckon? Is it going to change the landscape, basically, of forwards going a bit earlier in drafts?
Not so much forwards going early in draft, but it's more those guys being drafted too early. So if these guys are getting overdrafted and then it's taking all that value out of them and it's pushing guys down where you might be able to get them at a better pick and... they're going to return that value for you. And that's what I'd be looking at. Like, yeah, Greenwood's got the midfield time. Petrarca, if he holds that midfield time, all watches in March 2. So if that does happen, I don't think they go earlier, but I'm happy to leave them where they are.
I'll say one thing on this. If guys who are in, say, a tier below your Jack, like I've got Jack Martin high and I've got Gary Ablett's still reasonably high. If those guys like Petrarca and Greenwood and those guys do enough to push themselves up, what they're doing is actually making that tier larger. So all I'm trying to do is draft the last guy in that tier, draft the best value. So I don't think it means they go off the board earlier. I mean, they'll go off the board earlier than they would have individually. But as a tier, you can still just wait and maybe still get them in the same position. And maybe it makes a few defenders drop.
Mm.
Which, despite what Warnie says, is probably a better position to look at.
Okay, lads, that's all the questions from the social media. Make sure you follow us on those platforms. But Before we head off, we're running pretty late. I'll just get you a quick takeaway. One each of you guys. Has there been any major ranking adjustments that you've done so far? Let's just name one player who you have hashtag adjusted, even if it's just one or two spots up, one or two spots down after seeing the Marsh series. Steve, do you want to go take us away there?
It's going to be Jacob Hopper. He's going to get a significant bump with Ward being a month away into the season and Taranto missing a giant chunk of time. He'll probably go up 20 spots.
All right, Jono, what do you think?
It's Taylor Adams' season if it is a tear for the Pendles.
Fuck! Team. Fuck you all! Ooh. He was my fucking guy!
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Don't be like Thomas, man. Don't be like Thomas.
Fuck you, Jono!
But, hey, look, we haven't had scans, we don't know, but it is Taylor Adams' season if Treloar is our friend.
It's already fucking Taylor Adams' season. He's going in like the seventh round.
Is he?
Yikes. Yeah.
Far out.
Hey, you've been holding that back from the listeners there, Steve. Just holding it back.
Can we even trust him anymore?
Cam, who
well,
have
we've
you
got
adjusted?
The BNF show coming up. He was probably going to be my guy.
He can still be your guy.
You can all get fucked.
Go on, Petraka, he's moved up two tiers in my forward rankings. That's
two
about
tiers.
It.
All right, me to close the show. I'm all about Lockie Weller. I sort of mentioned it in a show a while ago to you guys, and it was just a sort of, I think it was in that argument, the argument show where I apparently lost every argument, yet every one I've had so far, I think I'm winning. But my points weren't that succinct. But I had Lockie Weller, and I mentioned that at the end of last year, he stepped into a bit of a midfield role, much like Brody Smith has with his clean hands and fast foot speed. Lockie Weller started in the midfield last week in Gold Coast. I didn't have a chance to mention on the show, totally slipped my mind, but I've just adjusted him up because I think he's actually got a tackling game about him. I think he can rack up the disposals. And I'm bringing him a fair way up in my rankings. Lockie Weller season. I'm all about it. I think he'll have a really good year this year.
Wait, so, right, so if you're bringing him up, where did you have him already? I assume you would have had him reasonably high already.
I didn't have
him. Does he become top 10?
Nearly, yeah. He's 12 for me in AFL fantasy. Yeah.
Okay. It's hot. I mean, he's doing everything right.
It's hot. I think he's well. He's coming on the radar now. He's certainly on the radar of a few people now, but he certainly was way off. And just, I think helping doing the CBAs last year, it was a sudden move at the very end of last year. It was like the second last game, he got about five CBAs. And then the last game, he was just purely in there. And I think he dropped tons on both games. And then he showed a great points per minute score playing as a inside midfielder in Marsh 1. And that looked to me, the Suns was kind of the one where they didn't have massive... they obviously had the GOAT missing Fiorini, but apart from that, they didn't have any major names missing out of their side. So, you know, we saw Greenwood, Weller, and I think it was Miller in there for a little bit. And I think that's pretty much what they're wanting to go into the season as their starting midfield.
So with Weller playing in the All-Stars game and Brayshaw missing, you'd have to say they won that trade, Dorsey.
Yeah, they certainly did. I dropped it in the group chat. My hot take for the week, Lockie Weller. The Suns won the trade. Keep tabs on that one. But, all right, I think that's it for the week. Hit up thedraftdoctors.com.au for all things draft. Check out the kit. Check out the mock site. Get yourself ready for draft day and tune in next week for some more Marsh Madness.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.